This is an iHeart podcast.
Great news out of the FBI. We will get you prepped for what's happening right now. We have whistleblowers, FBI types, all kinds of great stuff happening in this country right now on I'm Right. Okay, before we get into the federal government and getting ourselves prepared for the times that are coming and media and other things, I have to do something right off the top because Dan Bongino is a friend of mine. I got the news yesterday when everyone else got the news. Dan Bongino, obviously, you know who Dan Bongino is. I'm not going to insult your intelligence, but Secret Service, cop, one of the biggest shows in the country, has decided to walk away from this gig. TV, radio, podcasting, all that. It's like the best job in the world. It's not even a job, what we do here. He decided to walk away from that and go become deputy director of the FBI. He's going to work underneath Cash Patel. And if you're looking for objective coverage of Dan Bongino, you certainly will not get that here because, like I said, he's my friend. I love Dan, and I'm so happy for him. I'm happy for the country, and I'm very proud of him. That's not a small thing. To wave goodbye to a job in the media, to go walk into the doors of the Stasi and start to make changes, start to do things. It's awesome. What he's doing is awesome. I'm proud of him. I'm happy for Dan. I'm happy for us as a country because he is a man who is going to go in there with a purpose. He doesn't need that job. He's going to go in there with a purpose for all the right reasons. And that's a good thing. And actually, along those lines, I wanted to talk to you just about things that are happening right now and how we should look at these things. Elon Musk sent this out over the weekend. It was a tweet over the weekend. Quote, all federal employees will shortly receive an email requesting to understand what they got done last week. Failure to respond will be taken as a resignation. Okay, now, before I go on to anything else, let's just pause right there for a moment. Because I realize we have all gone through different things in our life. We've all lived different lives, different careers. So let's just stop and let's set all this politics and all this stuff aside for a moment. Let's talk about how you respond to certain situations. And I'll say this, how you respond to certain situations depends on the situation. I know that's very profound, but let's put it this way. Let's say you're a parent. Maybe you are. But let's say you're a parent. And I'm assuming you love your kids. I hope you do. But let's say you have a son. He's going a little haywire. Now, what should be done about that? Well, what does that mean, going a little haywire? Well, that's the point. You see, it depends on what we're talking about when it comes to going a little haywire. One of my sons went a little haywire, and his math grade dropped down to a D at one point in time. I had to crack the whip a little bit, cut this off, cut that off, do a little more studying. Hey, maybe we'll help you out with the tutor, get that math grade back up, and he did, and everything's fine. But what if going a little haywire meant got hooked on black tar heroin? What if that's what going a little haywire meant? Well, depending on how bad the situation is, that will decide how the response, what the response needs to be. If your son's math grade drops down to a D, he may need grounded for a month until he gets things back in order. If your son gets hooked on black tar heroin, you may have to take a sabbatical from your job, snatch him up, drive him up into the mountains with no way out, put him in a cabin for a couple months where you will live off the land until he gets his mind and his body and his spirit back right. It completely depends on how bad things are. Let's come back to the federal government now. It depends on how you view the situation right now with the federal government. There's a chance you are incorrectly looking at it like that, and I'll just put this right out there. If you look at it the way I'm about to describe, you are dead wrong, dangerously wrong. If you look at the federal government as if, yes, it's too big, and and they really lost their minds, and they certainly went crazy under Joe Biden. But really, overall, it's a good organization, and we just need to make some small changes here and maybe fire a manager or two there, just a little nip here and a little tuck there. And if we just make a couple minor changes, then we'll get this government back on track. That's it. It was a train. It was on the track. And now it's just a little bit off the track. So we just need to make a minor adjustment. We'll get it back on the track. If that's how you view things in our federal government, you're dead wrong. But also, you're not prepared for what is necessary, because here's the reality. The federal government isn't a little bit off track. It doesn't need a little nip, and it doesn't need a little tuck. The federal government, after decades and decades and decades of neglect by us, we have to own some of that, and after decades and decades and decades of communist infiltration, is a corrupt criminal organization that will destroy this country, cause a civil war, or worse, if it is not brought to heel. What we have over us right now with the bureaucracy in this country, with the unelected bureaucrats, 3 million of them, who rule over us, what we have is a dangerous situation that must be stopped. And not only must it be stopped, here's the thing. It has to be stopped in 4 years. We have 4 years. This is the first time we've ever had a Republican that is this dead set on reforming the federal workforce. And we have 4 years to do it. And so don't hold on, pause for a second. Maybe you're sitting there saying, no, we're going to get J.D. Vance in 2028. Then we'll have Democrats. Hold on. One of the most dangerous things you can do, I know I've done it many times, I do it practically every day, is make these long-term predictions about politics, about the electorate, about how this election is going to turn out, that election is going to turn out. We have 4 years to bring this evil, corrupt, criminal organization to heel. And it will not be nice. It will not be polite. It will not be kind. It's going to involve tears, pain, discomfort. People will lose their jobs. People will lose everything. They will have to move. Children will have to change schools. It will involve sorrow and sadness. I don't want to have to move to the mountains to live in a cabin for 2 to 3 months. I don't want 1 million people to get fired. But I don't always get what I want, and neither do you. When the situation becomes dire enough, then you must do drastic things or else lose it all. I know things are going great right now. I'm happy. You're happy. But they better remain at this pace for 4 years, because we have 4 years to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. And after that, if we have failed, we may lose it all. This is about steeling yourself for what we deal with right now. Because I saw so many things about this email from Elon Musk. Well, doesn't that seem unnecessary? That's a little mean. I see these workers who are getting fired and doing these puff piece interviews, and then I see people crying over it.
Hello. I was a federal worker who had 1 month left of her probationary period. And today I was told that I will be terminated at some point this week. I'm utterly devastated. I'm confused because my recent performance evaluation was exceptional and I got upwards of $1,500 as a bonus because my performance was so good. And this was my dream job, and it's just being taken away by an administration who doesn't care about science and doesn't care about people who might be homeless with their dog now. They don't care about our species that we're trying to conserve. That's exactly what my job was doing. It was just to assess habitat conservation for species for a 55-year habitat conservation plan. We should all be so mad right now. We should all be crying like this because I'm just devastated.
I'm not crying, because I know what has to be done. Even if in my heart I feel some sympathy for that filthy communist, I understand what has to be done. And you are going to be, and you frankly already are, you are going to be drowning in these sob stories. They're running montages of this stuff on MSNBC.
and I served as the Chief of Safety and Emergency Management at the Philadelphia VA. This was a mission-critical role that ensured the health and safety of all those who entered into our facilities.
I used to be a NEPA coordinator for the Wrangell Ranger District of the USDA Forest Service, where I would coordinate environmental review for projects in and around the town of Wrangell, projects that are crucial to the town's economy and its people.
I moved from Alabama to Maryland to start my new job in genomics education and outreach at the National Institutes of Health. My job was to help educate students, teachers, and healthcare providers about genomics to improve patient care and develop the future scientific workforce.
As the only aquatic ecologist at the largest reservoir in the United States, my job was mostly to monitor for water quality for recreational uses, making sure that when people are out boating or swimming, that the water quality is sufficient to keep people healthy.
This propaganda is going to continue because it's aimed at your heart. Because remember, as we've said so many times before, one of the two foundational pillars of American communism is making sure you pay for their activism. You pay for all of it. They worm their way into the government. They stay there forever. They suck up your taxpayer dollars and they use it to abuse you without end. And you cannot reform a corrupt criminal organization with 3 million employees without pain, without unemployment, without your dog, without having to move, without things like that. I know you may very well be tempted in that wonderful heart of yours to back off. Hey, maybe we're going too far. Hey, we don't have to be mean about it. No. Your son didn't get a D in math. Your son's hooked on black tar heroin. It's time to go to the mountains. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Now, something that makes me incredibly comfortable. Joy Reid got fired. Useless piece of trash she is. So I figure we might as well have Curtis Houck and Brianna Lyman on to show up and spike the football on that. We'll get to that in just a moment. Before we get to that, let's talk about how you sleep at night. Let me ask you, do you toss and turn? Have to get up to pee in the middle of the night? And then you feel it the next day, don't you? Kind of groggy because you can't sleep through the night. Dream powder from Beam, it'll have you sleeping through the night. 7, 8, 9 hours, however much time you have, natural sleep, because it's a cup of hot chocolate with natural things in it. It's delicious, and you will go sleep like a little bitty baby every night without the tossing, the turning, the peeing. Shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
My show had value, whether it was the Black Lives Matter issues. We need to understand 1619 as the real founding of this country, whether it's talking about Gaza and the fact that we as the American people have a right to object, to have a right to object to little babies being bombed. Those things are of God. And you know, I'm a church girl too, and those are the things that I was taught were of God. And so I'm not sorry. I'm just proud of my show.
Well, there's no show to be proud of anymore. The Readout, Joy Reid's show on MSNBC, has officially gotten the old hook. And so joining me now to, I don't know, celebrate, just discuss the whole media landscape is my friend Curtis Houck, managing editor of Newsbusters, and Brianna Lyman with The Federalist, wonderful correspondent for The Federalist. Okay, Curtis, everyone's out there screaming that Joy-Ann Reid got fired because she's dumb, or Joy-Ann Reid got fired because she's a communist. And of course, she's all those things and many other things, but everyone on MSNBC is a dumb communist. That doesn't get you fired, so why'd she get fired?
Yeah, well, she lost half of her ratings since the election. I mean, that's really impressive. And I should remind folks that she didn't even just get this job solely based on merit. She was given this job as a DEI hire because Chris Matthews made some woman feel uncomfortable a few years ago. So they Me Too'd him off the stage, and instead of give it to someone who actually knows politics, even if he is a lefty, they gave it to somebody like this. The biggest racial arsonist on the planet, an evil woman. One of the people, I would say, Jesse, actually believes the things that she is saying. A lot of these folks, or at least a few of them, I can tell you personally, probably don't believe a lot of the things they're saying, or at least, you know, don't genuinely think we're the enemy, whereas she actually does. So to see her booted, I think is a good thing for America.
Brianna, I can't help but notice the things are rough in the corporate media world now anyway. We have all these anchors that are leaving, Lester Holt's leaving. You're talking about NBC in the tank for 30 mil because of something some dumb host said. What happened?
Yeah, this was a crazy story. You know, back in 2020, if we remember, there was that ICE detention facility in Georgia, and there was a doctor, and I can't pronounce his name, but Dr. Amin, who performed two hysterectomies. And there was a whistleblower complaint that NBC Universal just ate up. They took that as fact. And they reported that this doctor was a collector of uteruses. They were trying to smear and malign and demean him. And he sued them for slander by saying, look, ICE approved these two hysterectomies. These women signed consent forms to say I will get a hysterectomy. But that didn't matter to NBC Universal. And in fact, during discovery process, it was found that even the executives at NBC Universal said, I don't know if this story is actually pretty accurate. It seems like there's a lot of big holes in it. And they still published it anyway. So they finally settled this case. Dr. Amin was looking for $30 million. It's not clear if that's what he got in the settlement yet, but that's what he was seeking. So he definitely got a few bucks out of NBC Universal, and it is an indictment that the propaganda press is losing the power it once had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they sure are. Curtis, what do you make of the turnover? Because like I said, it's not just Joanne Reed. Yeah. It's a bunch of them. Is this just all about money? Are these places, are they all losing their writings and they're trying to find the younger, cheaper option, if you will?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think it is cost. Hoda Kotb did not leave the Today Show, Jesse, out of the goodness of her heart because she said she had to give more of her time pie to her children. No, it's because they've realized that $20 million a year for these people is not going to fly. For some reason, ABC's dumb enough to think David Muir, who is the English comprehension of an elementary school student, is still worth giving money to. You know, Monday afternoon, MSNBC reportedly also got rid of Katie Fang, Ayman Mohyeddin, the Hamas apologist. Maybe he can go back to Al Jazeera or something. And Jonathan Capehart, the gay Washington Post guy. So he still has PBS going for him until we defund that as well. So it definitely is about turnover, except with very few asterisks like David Muir and Rachel Maddow, as you just saw there. She's still getting her $20 million to host one day a week.
Jeez, one day a week. So last week, I think it was last week, we got this clip of Margaret Brennan, CBS, that is, it's astounding, but at the same time, it's how these people view the world. Here it was.
Well, he was standing in a country where free speech was weaponized to conduct a genocide. And he met with the head of a political party that has far-right views and some historic ties to extreme groups. The context of that was changing the tone of it. And you know that.
Brianna, the communists in this country are so broken that they've now convinced themselves that the Holocaust happened because of free speech?
Yes, the Holocaust happened because of free speech in a country at a time when the Nazis actually did not allow free speech, but somehow it was free speech. And this is not just a slip of the tongue. It wasn't an accidental insulting comment that or assertion that she made. This was deliberate, right? Because Margaret Brennan, like the rest of these members of the propaganda press, see themselves as propagandists. And one way that they work for the totalitarian regime, such as under the Biden-Harris administration, is they want to convince Americans to cede their right to having free speech. Democrats would do far less, well in elections if censorship was permissible, right? The Murthy case of the Supreme Court, Murthy v. Missouri, the Biden administration tried, you know, hand over fist to try and squash free speech and censorship and make it permissible in this country to censor Americans because of true but inconvenient free speech. And so when you have mouthpieces like Margaret Brennan getting on, you know, national media and trying to say that, yeah, free speech is kind of dangerous, it is an attempt to sway the general public to questioning whether they deserve the right to free speech.
Speaking of which, Ilhan Omar had a little exchange with some Mehdi Hassan, some idiot on TV, and here's what she said.
These people are just idiots. I'm at the point where it's become really hard to have an intellectual debate with any of these people, because the level of stupidity that they are displaying every single day is frankly embarrassing, not just in Congress, but as Americans. And the fact that these people are allowed to say just the most ridiculous things tells you that the dumbing of the United States has arrived, because how else do we get a Trump presidency again?
There's a lot you can take from that segment, but honestly, the part that always stood out to me, Curtis, is the allowed. The fact that they're allowed to say these things, they can't help themselves, can they? There's just a tyrant. If you just scratch the surface a little bit, one, it will smell, and two, there's a tyrant under there.
Yeah, and she's also proof that you can just say a whole lot of things without actually really having said anything to begin with. I think this goes to, between this and the previous clip with Brianna there, is the left doesn't want to have a genuine battle of ideas. We see this with elections in Europe. They want to outlaw certain parties. They want to outlaw certain forms of media. In Canada, they want to double the funding for the CBC or something out of national security. They don't want to win a debate on merits. They don't want to win hearts and minds, because they'd much rather do it by rigging the system, by silencing dissent, and then forcing their views upon we the people, instead of genuinely convincing them that their way is the best way. They don't want to have an actual discussion about, you know, which way do we want to go as a country? Which way do we want to go as a society? Because that's just too much work for them.
Finally, we have to talk about my new favorite Democrat. I just adore her so much. Jasmine Crockett. Every time you turn on the television, her fat, stupid face is on there saying something dumb. Here she is.
You've been the one to call it out. The fact that I'm rooting for Canada and I'm rooting for Mexico a lot is really wild. Mm. But they are really the ones that are speaking truth to power right now. They can see what it is. And they were like, we are not messing with this crazy regime from Mar-a-Lago, and basically calling them thugs. That's what it is. But I'm like, y'all knew who he was when y'all elected him, so don't act surprised.
Brianna, I am a little surprised that a party that is as controlled as the Democrat Party is letting her run wild and make the GOP midterm ads for them every single day. What is going on here?
Yeah, you know, Sam Adams once said that the colonists know what is designed against them. And he was talking about they understand that the British government was designed to suppress their liberties and trample on their rights. People understand that Democrats are designed against the American people right now. This isn't the Democratic Party of, you know, 60 years ago. This is the Democratic Party of 2024 that doesn't want Americans to have rights, that actively cheers on countries that are sending rapists, murderers, drugs that are killing hundreds of thousands of Americans. And they're supporting them. She said something stupid last week as well. She said, we're not in the business of giving money away, right? Because she didn't want to give taxpayer DOGE refunds. It's not giving money away. It's giving money back to taxpayers because of radical pet projects by people like you in the Democratic Party who are stealing them. So if they want to keep trotting her out there, that's great. Like you said, it's good for the midterms for Republicans. But this is the ethos of the Democratic Party right now.
Both of you, appreciate you. Come back soon. All right. We have a new deputy director of the FBI, Dan Bongino, as we talked about in the open. We have a couple FBI whistleblowers, Steve and Garrett, going to join us next. What do they think about all this? They doing backflips? Before we get to that, we talk a lot about putting our money where our morals are. And you know I'm not a big, you know, jewelry guy, things like that. It's just not what I do. I had the same watch for 10, 15 years. I finally bought a new one. Why? Well, honestly, it's not just the fact that Wasson Watch is run by a United States Marine. It's the fact that they boldly and publicly speak out on our behalf. They weigh into cultural issues. The first time I came across Wasson Watch, I'm looking at this watch and I thought, wow, that's beautiful. And then I look, they're advocating on behalf of the unborn. Unapologetically. That is the kind of company I support. And as I said, the second I saw it, I don't remember where I bought my last watch, and I truly don't, but I know exactly where I'm buying my next one, Wasson Watch. Go look at their amazing watches and support a company that shares and promotes your values and keep in mind you get 10% off. WassonWatch.com, code Jesse, gets you 10% off. Go get a Wasson watch and put your money where your morals are. We'll be back.
To the senators and the men and women of the United States House of Representatives, you placed an enormous trust in me, an enormous leap of faith, one that I didn't know that I could possibly earn back, but I'm going to spend every single day on this job doing so. The fact that you placed the confidence you did in me has inspired me to reach new heights at this job. I promise you the following. There will be accountability within the FBI and outside of the FBI. And we will do it through rigorous constitutional oversight starting this weekend.
Yeah. I like it. I bet you I don't like it as much as Steve and Garrett like it, but I like it quite a bit. Joining me now, the brave FBI whistleblowers who spoke out before it was comfortable and easy to do so. Garrett O'Boyle, Steve Friend. Okay, Steve, let's start. Oh, by the way, co-hosts of the American Radicals podcast, which I would highly recommend. Hey, Steve, first reaction, Kash Patel gets in there. Do you feel vindicated, relieved? Are you still apprehensive? Where are you at?
I'd say cautiously optimistic. If I've learned anything over the last 2.5 years, you don't get too excited, you don't get too down. These things are always sort of in flux. But when you see the remarks that Kash made there at his speech there after he gets sworn in as the FBI director, I'm very enthused about that, because one of the big drums that I've been beating for the last 2.5 years is how the FBI has gotten away from its prime directive. The prime directive to follow the process, which is rigorous obedience to the Constitution, adherence to the rule of law, respect for civil rights, not concerned with the outcome. You gather the facts, you present them, and then if the facts support a conviction, that's the facts. If they don't, that's the facts. It's not on you. Unfortunately, though, over the last 4 years, we've seen the FBI get away from that, and they're really concerned about the outcome. They put their thumb, if not their entire arm, on the scale, and that is not in keeping with the way that we historically do law enforcement in this country.
Garrett, we all saw the news yesterday that Dan Bongino is going to be deputy director. Obviously, it depends on who you are and how you look at life. Some people are doing backflips today. Some people are spiking the fine china off the kitchen floor. What's happening in the O'Boyle household?
Similar to Steve, you know, I think Steve just hit his 29-month suspendiversary. Mine's coming up here in 2 days. So we have learned to try and just remain even. And it's difficult. My wife was saying last night, you know, that I can't imagine what you're going through. To me, and I'm like, well, hey, this affects you equally too. And also already hearing from people in the FBI, most of which are excited for this duo of Kash and Dan. And I think, though, there's going to be a learning curve for both. Neither have much experience with or certainly in the FBI. So they're going to have to work hard to surround themselves with people who understand the Bureau and can help them implement and make positive change to the agency. And so the learning curve is a bit steep, I think. But at least we know we have two people who are truly seeking to do the right thing. As Steve mentioned with Kash's speech, that's what you get with Kash Patel. He didn't have prepared remarks. He spoke from the heart. All my interactions with him have been that way. And out of all of the people in the swamp, so to speak, he has struck me as one of very few who are genuine.
Steve, help us understand, because we're on the outside looking in. We've never been in where you guys are. Help us understand, can Kash Patel, Dan Bongino, can these guys be frozen out by people who want to keep things going the way they're going? Are there walls that could be put up that they won't be able to see around or break through?
There will be if they allow the status quo to remain. I mean, there's basically a tried and true concept that gets applied to any sort of new director. They get bubble wrapped. You heard Christopher Wray constantly talk about how he had oversight of the FBI, not really leadership or even management. They're going to have to resist that temptation. They're going to have a lot of senior executives who have been in the agency for the last decade and a half, maybe 2 decades, that are at the Hoover Building. They're going to immediately come around them, surround them, try to get them off course. Get them involved in things that are not really mission focused. Well, why don't you go visit one of the 55 field offices and go press the flesh? Or why don't you go film a video for X, as opposed to bringing about and implementing the real change, the mandate that was sent last November during the presidential election, and then with the appointment of Kash Patel, and now with Dan Bongino, about bringing about the major reforms, getting rid of the quota system, integrated program management, eliminating the intelligence collection entirely from the FBI, and then rethinking the way that they're doing and bringing in personnel and actually making merit paramount as opposed to diversity, and then bringing about people through the training program that takes capable and meritorious people and makes them effective investigators, as opposed to being a washout program for people who never are going to pass muster to begin with.
Garrett, we are hearing that Cash is already relocating, if you will, hundreds of FBI employees outside of D.C. Is this, in your mind, a good start, something horrific? What do you think about this?
I think it's a great start. But get this, Jesse, right out of the gates after he put that forward, 500 headed to Alabama, 1,000 heading out to the field, because they want to clear out the D.C. apparatchik. That absolutely is what needs to be done. It's a great place to start. But right away, I heard from someone who is in a position to know the details, said that these people are already trying to subvert that order. They said, oh, don't worry about it. We're going to do what we call paper transfers, and we're going to make it look like, yes, we're assigned in Alabama now or wherever else. But in reality, we're going to stay right here and continue our subversive Marxist ways. And I forwarded that on to Cash, and you know, I think he's preparing a game plan for it already. But there's going to be a viper around every turn. And so I think both Dan and Cash have a tremendous battle ahead of them. And I think it's going to take, if not the entire Trump administration this time around, much longer to quote unquote fix the FBI, if it even can be fixed.
Steve, I keep hearing things like that from people I trust who have sources inside the FBI. Can you help me understand the mentality of the non-Marxist types? I realize that we have a bunch of those in there, the courtesy of Barack Obama and others, but is it just run-of-the-mill arrogance? Is that what it is? I don't think I could ever imagine just saying, I don't care what my boss wants, I'll lie about it, I'll figure out a way around it. What is it?
I think it's a combination of two main things. One is hubris, like you're citing there. You're told from day one just how awesome you are if you work for the FBI. You're the premier law enforcement agency. You apply for the job and 50,000 other people apply for that exact seat and you were selected. And then I think it's also a rather large organization, which allows them to compartmentalize your responsibilities. And you're vetted as a person of integrity, someone who endeavors to be a professional. You would hope the person takes that upon themselves to do the best job that they can do. But then you just have human nature. And you're going to be compartmentalized into a small responsibility and then just focus on that and say, hey, look, is this legal, ethical, constitutional? Yeah, passes muster. I'm just going to go ahead and do it. But what's necessary is, if you're a real law enforcement professional, someone who takes that oath seriously, is to take the step back and look at the full mosaic. So anecdotal, but to me, I was told to drive someone, a January 6th subject, who was going to be arrested with a SWAT team when a SWAT team was unnecessary. It was somebody who was going to cooperate. And they said, Steve, your only job is to drive them. Once they're apprehended, drive them to court. That's it. You're just Uber. And I said to them, look, it's incumbent on me to take the step back, look at the entire process, and realize, yes, I'm not putting the Zyklon B into the chamber, but I am actually putting them on the cattle car. So that sort of structure, the way that they can actually compartmentalize your responsibilities and then leave people sort of in a compromised position and feeling really good about themselves, all those are cultural aspects that need to be corrected. And I think it can be done really from this week one of Cash Patel and Dan Bongino at the helm.
Gentlemen, oh, well, you know what? I have to ask about the ATF real quick. Garrett, I'll toss that one to you before I let it go. Cash is apparently going to head up the ATF now. Please tell me he's just going to end the whole thing. What do you make of all this?
I hope that's the truth, is that he's put there just as the figurehead to dismantle it. And if there are any necessary components to it, which I don't think that there are, then they can come and fall under the banner of the FBI. Because what do we need all these federal law enforcement agencies for? I think we have seen enough signs so far early on in this administration that the goal is to dismantle the government bloat, and the ATF is certainly a huge piece of that. And one last thing I want to add, if I can, Jesse, is way back in the beginning of all this, right around the time Well, in Cash's regard, before Steve and I testified, shortly after we were suspended, we were put in touch with Cash and his foundation, and he stepped forward and provided financial support to both Steve and I to get our families through the holidays. He was castigated and derided for that, as we were when we testified. But then even after we testified, Kyle Serafin, I know he's a fellow friend of yours, as suspendable to us, but Dan Bongino then donated, I think, $5,000 or $10,000 to the Give Send Go campaign that was started for us. And then fast forward a few months later, Christopher Wray testified that we would potentially be violating federal law if we were to accept that money. So it shows the kindness and generosity of both of these men. But as I think we all know who've been paying attention to them over the years, they also have that tenacity that is needed in these positions to come forward and bring truth and justice where it is needed. And so I'm looking forward to it. I wish them both the best. And if they want to tap us on the shoulder for some assistance, I think both of us would be open to it.
Yeah, I hope they do. Gentlemen, as always, you're welcome here anytime. Thank you so much. All right. I have some thoughts on the whole Russia, Ukraine, Trump, all this ugliness that's going on right now. Before I get to that, let me get to this. We have to put our money where our morals are. We just do. This is not something that we can set aside now that we feel like we're winning. No, we have to continue to press and press and press, because only total victory will work for us. That involves the corporate world as well. The AT&Ts, the T-Mobiles, the Verizons of the world, they haven't changed their ways one iota. Maybe they'll change this label or that label, but in the end, they still do what they've always done, and that's dump all over us. Switch your cell phone service to Pure Talk. Pure Talk is the American cell phone company. You're not going to sacrifice service. They make switching easy. With the qualifying purchase, you get a new phone. Switch to Pure Talk, or keep your phone, keep your number, whatever you want. They make it easy. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back. Let's talk really quickly about life, because this will be about Trump and Zelensky and Ukraine and Russia, but I want to talk to you really quickly about life. You see, it's important to always remember what I'm about to say, no matter what your emotions tell you at the time. Family, friends, coworkers, employers, employees, anybody you have any kind of a relationship with, it is perfectly okay to have disagreements with them, argue with them, maybe even yell at each other, have a knockdown, drag out. It's perfectly okay, as long as you do it privately. Privately. There's a wonderful, wonderful line from the HBO series John Adams that's so true. Benjamin Franklin sitting down with John Adams, who had just insulted a bunch of these politician types publicly in front of everybody. And Benjamin Franklin says, "Why'd you insult them publicly?" And John Adams says, "I should have done it privately." And Benjamin Franklin says back to him, "Yes, perfectly acceptable to insult a man privately. He might even thank you for it. But you insult a man publicly, he tends to remember it." Keep your fights in life with people you know off of social media, off of TikTok. Don't record them. They're not for public consumption. And if you want exhibit A of how badly that can go, let's look at the Russia-Ukrainian negotiations. Right now, Trump is doing as he promised he would during the election. He's trying to bring about an end to that horrible butchery over there. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of lives lost. Just awful. A three-year disastrous affair. Trump, to do this, to mediate this whole affair, he's got to bring Russia to the table. He's got to bring Ukraine to the table. What do you accept? What will you accept? It's a negotiation. You get it. I get it. This is how most wars end. Zelensky, I don't know, I guess maybe believed his own press or something like that, started to badmouth Trump, not on the phone. We're not talking about he's on the phone with Trump in the Oval Office. "Trump, you moron, you don't..." No, not by text message. "Trump, what are you, an idiot?" He starts running to the television set to talk about all the things Trump doesn't understand. And Trump has responded, well, exactly like people respond when you insult them publicly.
Think of it, a modestly successful comedian. President Zelensky talked the United States of America into spending $350 billion to go into a war that basically couldn't be won. He refuses to have elections, is low in the real Ukrainian polls. I mean, how can you be high with every city is being demolished? A dictator without elections. Zelensky better move fast or he's not going to have a country left. And Zelensky probably wants to, maybe he wants to keep the gravy train going. I don't know what's the problem, but he hasn't been able. He's very upset that he wasn't invited. He could have come if he wanted to, but that he wasn't invited to Saudi Arabia. But he's been working for 3 years. There's never been even meetings or phone calls to stop this war. It's a horrible thing.
Did you ever hear Donald Trump speak that way about Zelensky leading up to the election? No, you didn't. Did you hear him speak that way about Zelensky immediately after the election? No, you didn't. And so now, remember, Zelensky's entire country is on the line here. What the future of Ukraine looks like will in large part be determined by the negotiations that are happening right now. And right now, Zelensky is wrong-footing the entire country of Ukraine. Why? Because he couldn't control this. He couldn't shut his freaking mouth and keep insults private. Private. How deep is the rift now? Remember, he needs us. Zelensky has no leverage. None. Zero. Russia has taken and they are holding the territory they want, and Ukraine cannot get them out. They've tried. They cannot get them out. How bad is it now? Marco Rubio feels completely comfortable saying this. Our Secretary of State saying this publicly.
I think President Trump is very upset at President Zelensky, and in some cases, and rightfully so. I was personally very upset because we had a conversation with President Zelensky, the Vice President and I, the two, three of us, and we discussed this issue about the mineral rights. And he said, sure, we want to do this deal. It makes all the sense in the world. The only thing is I need to run it through my legislative process. They have to approve it. I read 2 days later that Zelensky's out there saying, I rejected the deal. I told him no way that we're not doing that. Well, that's not what happened in that meeting. So you start to get upset by somebody. We're trying to help these guys. There should be some level of gratitude here about this. And when you don't see it and you see him out there accusing the president of living in a world of disinformation, that's highly, very counterproductive. And I don't need to explain to you or anybody else, President Trump's not the kind of person that's gonna sit there and take that. He's very transparent. He's gonna tell you exactly how he feels. And he sent a message that he's not gonna get gamed here.
You hear it? You hear the animosity now? At a time where he needs us the most, he has already completely alienated us. Donald Trump, Rubio, the whole gang of diplomats, he's completely wrong-footed himself. And this is not about Zelensky or Ukraine or Russia. This is a lesson for all of us, myself included. Keep your disagreements private. I know it feels so good to blast your wife on Facebook. Oh my gosh, she screwed up dinner. I know it's fun. I know it's great. Don't do it. All right? All right. Lighten the mood. Next. All right. It is time to lighten the mood. And while I am greatly, greatly enjoying the Trump presidency so far, all kinds of winning going on, I'll be honest with you. There is a small part of me that misses the Joe Biden dome presidency. No, let me clarify. The sound bites. It was, what a time. For 4 years, we had a president who... he didn't have a mind anymore. He just couldn't even complete a sentence. Anyway, but then the vice president, she was also a moron too, who couldn't really speak intelligently about anything. And you forget that these people were with us for 4 years. And Dome, she's gearing up to run for governor of California. Everyone can see it. Stevie Wonder can see this coming. So, of course, she has to go do the politician thing and visit the spot, visit the location of the LA fires. And she did it as only Dome can.
What goes through your mind when you see this? You're here, you're now seeing it up close.
It's not only seeing it, Alex, you can smell it. you can feel it, right? So it's seeing it with our eyes, and many people have seen it. You all are covering it. But to literally be on the ground here, you can smell the smoke that was here. You can feel the toxicity, frankly, of the environment. You can feel the energy of all of the folks who are still here on the ground.
I'll see you tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast.